Welcome back to the Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is the host of The Opposition on Comedy Central, which airs weeknights after The Daily Show.
Roy Moore clearly didn't commit these awful, abnormal acts. Unless he did, in which case, they're fine and they're totally normal. Alabama State Auditor John Ziegler explained it perfectly.
Take Joseph and Mary. Mary was a teenager and Joseph was an adult carpenter. They became parents of Jesus. There's just nothing immoral or illegal here, maybe just a little bit unusual.
Yeah, exactly. A bit unusual. Yeah. A relationship between an adult man and a 14-year-old girl is fine. In fact, it's better than fine. It's how you make a Jesus. Maybe we're looking at this too head-on. In fact, what are we talking about Roy Moore when we're talking about Roy Moore? Relationships like this happen all the time. As historian and American Airlines Rosa Parks Ann Coulter, she reminded us when she tweeted, "Hey Dems, JFK had an extramarital affair with 19-year-old Mimi Alford when he was 45 years old." Got him. There's no difference between 14 and 19, besides 5 years and a couple lost. And JFK was a cheater. Roy Moore was just a single, 32-year-old adult man who wanted to go on a nice date with an eighth grader. Makes it more real when you put a grade to it.
Jordan Klepper is well known to many for his work on The Daily Show, but did you know that before all of his fame and his fortune, he spent his formidable years right here in Chicago? Klepper toured with Second City, but he also hosted his own late-night show at I.O. called The Late Night Late Show. Also did several improv shows in Chicago. It was a big hit, Late Night Late Show, for the theater. And who knew that years later, Klepper would be back behind the desk, albeit in a little different role. Jordan Klepper, welcome to The Download.
Justin, good to be. How are you doing?
Good, man. Good to talk to you. And congratulations on all your success. It's been over a month now, coming up on a month. How are you settling in?
I've decided I'm going to sleep now, so I think that's a good sign. I've a month of work and then a couple hours of sleep and then I'll get up going again. So I'm getting into that pace.
Hosting a comedy show that is essentially a 25-minute monologue. It's amazing to see what you do and how much you have to script the show and write the show about the news that's happening in the moment. Not a lot of people are doing that on television. And talk about the discipline and the rigor that goes into doing that kind of comedy.
I got a great team behind me, but it's the kind of thing that, like, the news is moving so quickly right now, so you just have to sort of stay adept to it. And we have two fully scripted acts and then one big interview with a newsmaker of the day. And so it just takes a lot of focus. You wake up, everybody's pitching on the idea of the day, the stories of the day, the takes of the day, and we try to parse it through kind of this fun point of view that this character has. You know, I play this hype version, this, like, almost alt-fringe news source character who is anti-establishment, often pro-Trump. And we sort of have to filter all of these news stories through this character each day. And I'll tell you, it's a lot of fun. Like, it is a lot of content, but it's a lot of fun to filter it through the point of view of somebody who is absurd, who is heightened. And I think it's a challenge to find different ways. So it's not just me talking each night, every single act.
Yeah.
We try to involve other citizen journalists, other actors and characters in there. We try to blow it out so it's not just like you're watching a news show. You're watching a news show that's, like, is pumped up on caffeine and whatever illegal substance it has so that you can it can get a little crazy and fun sometimes.
Well, I guess it's akin to The Daily Show and the work that you did on that. And obviously, as a contributor and a correspondent, you had times where you would have more time to get ready for a piece than being the host of The Opposition, where it's on you every night to get up there and perform when you guys, you know, tape the show. Talk about the adjustment you've had to make as a performer to go from something where you're a part of it to being the main part of it.
The big shift is becoming boss. Like, suddenly I'm making decisions that affect every little element of the show. And for that, I blame Jon Stewart. He kind of created this late night show format. Like, when you come to The Daily Show, you realize that it's tailored to run through his point of view, every decision run through the interests that he has, the choices that he makes, and the topics he wants to cover. And so that's sort of what we adopted as we start to build this show. Like, you have to create this machine, and this machine runs through the host. And so what I've had to get used to really quickly is, like, being able to set really talented people into the right direction so that we can all kind of be efficient work through the day. And so as a performer, it's been really fun to kind of evolve into this role, to be a host, to try to find what this guy is like day in and day out. With The Daily Show, you know, I'm on maybe a couple times a week for smaller segments. Now I have to sustain this for full episodes. But the real big shift is what I'm doing up until the show during the day. I'm suddenly not just an employee, I'm the boss. And how to really hold that over people.
Yeah,
like, it's a real
status
thing. So, however I can really make people feel like minions. Because already it's degrading that they have to work for a schmuck like me. But if I could really use that and have them feel like they have to work for a schmuck like me, then I'm really winning.
You're really winning, The closed door, open door, closed door dynamic. You'll work on that, right? all right, so I'm fascinated by the character, too, because as you mentioned, kind of playing an alt-fringe pro-America host. To start out and do that, and we saw it at the beginning with even the promos. I mean, you defined who the character was, China Isn't Real, and the opposition promos and commercials that were everywhere. Now that you're over a month in, how does the character evolve? How do you change it as Jordan Klepper? How do you make it something fresh every single night?
I think what we started to find is, one, I'm trying to find a little bit more of me in the role each time. Like, this guy is hyperbolic. He definitely feels very extreme. He's built out of this very modern ideology of opposition, of being against something, which is something that lives on the fringes, the Breitbarts and what have you. But it's also something that lives on the internet. It's something that is like this trolling culture of you better be vehemently against something, even if you don't know what you're standing for. And it's also something that we see in the good old White House, with a guy who's not necessarily built by ideology. It's just a guy who's built by narcissism, doing whatever is best for him and how to play to a room. And so I think like what we're finding is that character and that voice that speaks to what's going on there. And also we're trying to figure out, like, how do I bring my Jordan Klepper real person personality out through that as well? So the audience gets to see me through this character of somebody who might be saying something that's almost the opposite of what you would believe, but you get that the performer Jordan Klepper underneath it also understands what he's doing as well.
That's a nuanced thing for anybody. Think about all the comics out there that do have a different character persona, but the ability to meld those together, that takes time, evolution. I mean, there's something that you don't see a lot of that being done at such a level you're doing.
Yeah. It's a fun challenge. I think it's something, in Chicago, it's what you go to Second City and you see. You don't see stand-ups necessarily talking. Stand-ups are going to go, they're going to tell you about their experiences. You go to Second City and you're going to see somebody talk about, play a character who's heightening those foibles. And that's something I've always kind of loved. It's like, oh, let's filter it through somebody who's flawed as opposed to me telling you what the flaws are. But with that come new challenges. Like, we will have morning meetings where we talk about what's happening, something that Trump said, something that's vile and terrible. And you're like, I know how to be mad about this, but the job of this show is showing you what's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of one extra step of comedy math that we have to go through each day. Like, all right, that's how we feel, but how do we show how we feel as opposed to just tell it?
Comedy math. I love that. Jordan Klepper, my guest, the host of The Opposition on Comedy Central. You mentioned Chicago there. There's so many great Chicago people, both the citizen journalists on the show, yourself, the writing staff, so many great people you've brought together from your past in Chicago. How important is it to have familiar faces around you when you're putting a show out, but also talk about the strengths that all of those people bring to a show like this because of their time in Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, they bring it's crucial. I think I was lucky enough. I was in Chicago for 9+ years and working with so many great people at all the improv theaters there. And then coming to New York, I worked at the Upright Citizens Brigade. And the culture in all of those places is one of creativity, brainstorming, and saying yes to ideas. And I think in doing a show that is every single day, you have to have a room that is generative and doesn't judge ideas. They just are looking to make them better. And that's sort of the thing that's the bread and butter of kind of that Chicago improv scene. And so for me, it was really important to have a creative environment that echoed that kind of ideology that I had in Chicago. At the same time, it was like, let me pull these people that I've worked with for so long, who are really talented in all these different ways. People that I worked with 15 years ago on the Late Night Late Show in Chicago. People I worked with here in New York as well. And also mix that in with brand new faces with new different ideas. Like, the one big important thing, whether you're an improviser or not, whether you're from Chicago or New York or LA or the middle of the country, like, the big thing was, are you coming with that sensibility of, like, it's about making the room's ideas better, not winning the day with your idea. And so that was the point we started with.
You know, it's so fascinating too, because so many times you'll hear people talk about, or questions will be asked about, well, you came up in improvisation. Tell us how that helps you on a set or helps you with your show. In your case, you're playing a character, and improv obviously plays a role, but it's a scripted show. But the more important thing is the ideas and all of the theory, everything that goes into improv being utilized behind the scenes.
Yep. I mean, I think it's funny. I think improv is a huge part of this show, but not in the way that most people would expect it. Yeah, I'm not up there riffing. I mean, I'll have little riffs here and there and what have you, where improv is a part of the show that you watch day in and day out, is you're watching a show that was written by a bunch of people who are super generative, saying yes to a bunch of ideas and building off of that. So it's improv in its community. It's improv in its lack of preciousness. Like, no matter what, if you do a show every day, you can't worry about getting it perfect. You got to worry about making it work now. Mm-hmm. And it's also improv in those interviews. You're using the skill set of just listening, which is, you know, the first thing you have to do when you improvise. It's like, you got to lock in, you got to pay attention, and you got to be adaptable.
It's an amazing career that you've had, of course, being a contributor and correspondent for The Daily Show. But even before that, is like I mentioned in the lead, just the improv shows that you've done. When you set out, I mean, you set out from Kalamazoo to come to Chicago to do improv. Then you go from Chicago to New York City to get into the business. Was the end game to be where you're at now with your own political talk show, a character-driven political talk show? Or is this just the practice of yes and? You know, Jordan Klepper saying, I'll take the opportunities where they come.
I mean, you know, it definitely was a dream to get to a place like this, but I can't say it was the thing I was always just aiming for. I think I was sort of more focused on what that next thing was. I think it is that idea of yes and. I left Kalamazoo, a guy who loved improv, a guy who did it in college, and a guy who knew that there was something in Chicago that I could kind of explore and see what that next step is. And same thing in Chicago. Like, you start to get into a community, start to figure things out and see where that leads. And I think I definitely had dreams of, like, whether it's SNL or The Daily Show, like, oh, it'd be great to find a place where I could continue to do this and to get paid to do this. But I think it's more so having those in the back of your head, but also just keep looking for opportunities and how to build on what you're already doing.
Jordan Klepper, the host of The Opposition, which can be seen on Comedy Central every night after The Daily Show. Guy who came through the Chicago improv scene and made his way to The Daily Show, and now with his own show on Comedy Central. Jordan, couldn't be happier for you. Congrats on all your success, and thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate it.
Justin, thank you, man.